squad cars. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa proudly bring you the drama, the danger, the thrills, and the facts when the long arm of the law travels in squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Sandton, Transvaal, 4:45 p.m. It's Friday, the 27th of November. It's a warm summer evening. In the prosperous shopping center, shoppers have dwindled to a trickle, and the various shopkeepers are preparing to close for the evening. Susan Greenfield, proprietress of a chic, expensive-looking boutique, glances up as a figure darkens her open door. She smiles as she recognizes her husband, Gavin.
Hello, darling.
Oh, you're early.
Told the boss I'd made him enough money for the day. Thought I'd come and see how my favorite business lady was doing.
I think you're going to be proud of me. I'm just catching up.
Good day.
Well, come and have a look. There. That's the day's figure.
As much as that?
I've been working hard. You wouldn't believe the number of dresses I've sold.
At the prices you charge, you wouldn't need to sell that many.
You have to pay for quality, and I don't sell anything else.
How you ever manage it, I'm proud of you, darling. Where's the loot?
In the till. There's 3 days' takings in there.
You're not going to leave us there, are you?
I don't know. I'll probably bank it in the morning.
You better take it home this evening. Not safe in that little till.
You really think I ought to?
Of course. We don't want a robbery, do we?
p.m. A short distance from the boutique, a neat gravel car park is slowly emptying. Shoppers and business people from the complex gather briefly, greet each other, and drive their separate ways. In one car, parked at the very edge of the open square, three people sit. In the front are two young men. Behind them, an attractive blonde girl.
Jenny? You gonna wait here all night?
Well, it's not 5 o'clock yet.
It seems later.
No, it's not. Look.
Jenny, I'm frightened. I said I'm frightened.
I heard you. There's nothing to be frightened about. Isn't that right, Trey?
Not for us, isn't.
Yeah. No sign of them yet?
No, I'm watching that back door. They haven't come out yet.
They will. They've got to. That's their car over there.
You still think they'll have the money, Jenny?
They must have. You were in there this afternoon. You saw the till. It was full, right?
Dead right. I've never seen so much bread in one place. Mind you, I'm not surprised. The price that she charges in there.
Well, you bought a dress. Can't have been that bad.
But I couldn't keep going back there without buying anything. They'd have got suspicious.
Oh, we'll pick up enough from this job to buy you a whole wardrobe. Probably find your own bread in the till.
I didn't give them cash. It was a check.
You what?
Hey, Jenny.
What's the matter?
There, in the doorway. Two people coming out now. Looks like them.
Jean, take a look. Is that her?
Yeah, that's her, all right. But that must be the husband.
And he's carrying a bag. Must be the bread. Getting into the car now.
Make sure you see what he does with that bag, eh?
Into the back seat.
Right, let's get after them.
Soon be home. In about half an hour.
Oh, come on, Sue. It was your idea to get a house in the country.
And I love it. It's only at times like this that I'd rather live a little closer to the shop. It takes so long to get home.
You keep on with the shop the way you're going, and you'll be able to give it up. We can stay out at home for as long as you like.
Oh, don't be silly. I'll never give up that shop. I love it too much. Besides, with you working all day, I'll never see you.
We can't have it both ways, love.
I don't want it any way but the way it is.
Well, then.
Give me a chance, love. It's a woman's privilege to complain a little from time to time.
Greenfield's smart little car noses out of the mainstream of traffic and heads towards the rural north. The houses of Bryanston give way to open fields, and Gavin Greenfield is a happy man as he begins to relax behind the wheel. He glances at his pretty wife, smiles broadly, and starts to whistle a catchy little tune. He would be less secure if he could overhear the conversation in the big black car that he occasionally notices in his rear-view mirror.
Sure you know where he's going, Denny?
Of course I am. Gene and I took a good look at their place last weekend. I've got it all worked out.
We run them off the road, right?
Right. They don't know the favor they're doing us living way out here. Nobody's going to see a thing.
We just take that little bag and go.
Watch him, man. He's turning.
Okay, I see him. Hey, Denny. I hope the money's in that bag, eh?
Well, it must be. She wouldn't be fool enough to leave that much money in the shop.
Oh, you don't know women, Denny. They do funny things, man.
Well, that husband of hers doesn't look like a fool.
He is the fool either, believe me.
Good afternoon. I thought you'd gone to sleep.
You're joking. Sleep, the way I feel.
Soon be over.
Denny, you're not going to hurt them or anything, are you?
Ah, of course not. If they behave themselves.
Dallin, what's the matter?
Hmm?
You look worried about something.
There's a car behind us.
Well, that's not so unusual.
Been there for ages. All the way from the shop, in fact.
Oh, must be somebody else who lives out there.
Come on, love. We know everybody in this neck of the woods. That's not any car I recognize.
Big black one.
That's it.
I don't recognize it either. Kevin, you don't think...
I shouldn't think it's anything sinister, love. I'll put my foot down a bit. See what he does.
Gavin, he's also speeding up. He must be following us.
Turn off's coming up. I'll duck in there.
That's not the way to his place. He's seen us.
You can't get away from this car.
Don't talk to him. Get after him.
Gavin, they're turning after us.
Hold tight, love. It's no use. That car's faster than ours. I can't lose them.
They're right behind us. Gavin, what are they going to do?
Well, let's see what they do first.
They're trying to pass us.
No, they're not. They're trying to push me up the road.
Gavin, slow down. Stop. He'll make us crash.
It's too late. Going into the side.
Hey, man, that was neat. They're
just sitting there. They're not trying to get out.
Yeah, well, we'll make them get out.
What do I do?
You get behind the wheel. When we come back, you get going.
Okay.
You ready, Trey?
Right with you.
Let's go and collect that money.
Doing?
Sorry about that, lady. It must have been an accident.
That was no accident. You deliberately forced me off the road.
Trev? You wouldn't do a thing like that, would you?
Never.
You see, my friend says it was an accident.
I'll give you accident.
Gavin, careful.
What?
You do what the lady says, chum. You just be careful. Trev?
Gavin, he's got a gun.
Hey, that's right.
And he'll shoot you, lady. So you just stay right where you are.
What do you want?
We want the money.
What money?
The money from the shop, mate. Hand over. All of it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Gavin, please, give it to him.
Hey, you got a clever wife, man.
It's on the back seat, in that bag.
You keep that gun on them, Trev. I'll get it.
You just keep watching front, chum.
All right, I've got it. Let's go.
6:15 p.m. The sun casts long shadows across the country road. The two cars have gone. In their place stands a gleaming police sedan. The two men talk quietly together as they study the marks in the soft gravel. They are Detective Sergeant Andre Skeppers and Major Stephen Coulter of the Witwatersrand Division of the Murder and Robbery Squad.
Soon be too dark to see anything, sir.
Not that there's a lot to see. I want to cast her those tire tracks. You never know. Might be able to tell us something.
They look ordinary enough to me, sir.
Did you find anything else, Sergeant?
Well, not a thing, sir. They left nothing behind.
According to the victims, it was all over very quickly. They wouldn't have had time to scatter many clues about.
No, sir.
Oh, we're wasting our time here. Let's get over to the house to take a proper statement from the victims.
Another cup, Major?
No, thank you, Mrs. Greenfield. Oh, that was very kind of you.
I'm afraid there's not a lot more we can tell you.
Well, you got a good look at these men. That's going to be a great help when we find them.
Of course, we didn't see the one in the car. It was too far off.
And we weren't in much of a state to pay all that attention.
No, of course not.
He looked a lot younger, though, and smaller.
Mm. You said these men were quite young.
Yes, but the one that drove the car off was younger still. Only a boy by the look of things.
Not very typical, letting a young boy drive the getaway car.
Well, he certainly seemed to know what he was doing.
The amount in the bag, the money that was stolen, you're sure of the amount?
Oh, quite sure. I counted when I took it out of the till. You see, I just brought the cash home. I left the checks in the till. I was going to the banking in the morning.
Uh-huh. One thing, Mr. Greenfield. Did either of these men touch your car? Apart from opening the back door, I mean. There weren't any prints on that handle.
No. I don't think so.
Yes, he did.
What?
Well, don't you remember? That big one. He slammed the door in your face when you tried to get out.
That's right, he did.
The driver's door?
Yes, he sort of pushed it to with his hand.
I'll have the fingerprint people look at it in the morning. Would you be able to bring the car into John Forster Square?
Of course.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mr. Greenfield. You've given us quite a lot to go on. We should have them soon, if they're still in this area.
Hey, Denny, you sure about that? Count it again, man.
Don't need to. That's it, all right. 1,500. Oh, boy.
You're a killer man, Denny. Of
course I am. Hey, don't turn around, man. Keep your eyes on the road.
But somebody else's turn to drive.
Just now. Are we ever going to have a holiday?
That's right, man.
Very nice of those people, giving us all this bread.
No crummy hotels this time, Denny.
Nothing but the best, sweetheart. We're on our way to an all-expenses-paid luxury holiday in Durban.
While the big black sedan streaks down the national road to Durban, Major Coulter and Sergeant Skippers sit in their Brixton headquarters, carefully putting together the many clues they have assembled.
Right. Let's go over that again, Sergeant.
Right, sir. 5:05, the Greenfields leave the shop. Sometime later, Mr. Greenfield notices a large black car following.
Late model Tempest sedan, probably stolen.
Pity they didn't get the number.
Wouldn't have helped. They probably changed the plates. Go on.
Mr. Greenfield tries to lose them by turning down a side road. The car forces them off the road. Two men approach them, one with a gun.
And they take the money and run. With a teenage delinquent driving the car.
That's the strange bit, sir.
I couldn't agree more. These men sound like professionals. They'd hardly let a child drive the getaway car.
It might not have been a child, sir.
Hmm? What do you mean?
Well, they didn't get a very good look at him. It could have been someone quite a lot older, someone who looked like a boy.
Sorry, I still don't follow.
Well, sir, why couldn't it have been a young woman?
I won't be a moment. I'm just going to... Oh, good morning, Major.
Good morning, Mrs. Greenfield.
You haven't found them already, have you?
No, I'm afraid not. There are one or two things I want to ask you.
You're very lucky to find me here. I was in two minds about opening the shop at all today.
Mm. The robbery must have been quite a shock for you.
I was certainly frightened at the time. Now I'm just furious. Oh, you said you wanted to ask me something.
Just an idea Sergeant Skip has had. It might be nothing.
Well, I'll tell you anything I know.
Try and remember the person that drove the big black car away. The young boy.
Yes.
Did he have short hair?
Fairly short, I think, yes.
Blonde or dark?
As I said before, I didn't pay very much attention to him. But, blonde, I think.
And in the last day or so, I suppose you've had quite a few customers in here.
Oh, I've had a stream of them. That's why there was so much money in the till.
Did you know most of them?
Quite a few of them. Mostly regular customers.
Yeah, but some of them weren't.
Oh, dozens. They're not that exclusive.
Would you remember a strange girl with short blonde hair?
Short blonde. You don't think...
Sergeant Skippers thinks the driver of the car could have been a woman.
Could be right. Yes, he certainly could. But why would she have come here?
These people seem to know that you'd be carrying a great deal of money home with you. Well, it's just possible they sent a spy in here to make sure.
Short, blonde. There was one.
Tell me about her.
I'd never seen her before. She was in here yesterday and the day before. I must say she didn't look the sort of person I'd expect to come into a place like this. She was pretty enough, but, well, you know.
Did she buy anything?
Eventually, yes. I didn't expect her to, but she finally bought a dress yesterday afternoon.
And paid cash for it?
I wouldn't have given her credit. Oh, I see what you mean. No, no, she gave me a check. Still in the till. I haven't been to the bank yet. Didn't see much point.
If you don't mind, Mrs. Greenfield, I'd like to take it away with me.
Durban, Sunday the 29th of November. The Criterion Hotel is a tall palace of concrete and glass, dominating the Golden Mile of the North Beach. In one of the smartly furnished rooms, two men and a pretty blonde girl sip tall glasses of beer.
Hey, you know, Denny, I've been thinking.
Oh, that'll make a nice change.
Oh, no, no, man, seriously. I'm thinking of retiring to a place like this.
You fancy this sort of life, do you?
It certainly beats working, eh?
Well, don't get to like it too much, mate.
What do you mean?
I've got a job for you.
Hey, we're going to do another job.
Not that sort of job, mate.
What then?
Well, it's too soon to crack another place. We've got enough bread to last us another week.
Well, if we don't pay the hotel bill.
You must be joking. Why do you think I registered with false names? We aren't giving this place a penny.
Hey, so, what do you want me to do, Denny?
Get rid of the car.
What?
You heard me. That car's hot. We've got to get rid of it.
But how?
Yeah, well, that's your problem, genius. Only I want you to make quite sure they'll never find it.
Take a seat, Sergeant.
Thanks, sir.
You look as if you've had a busy day.
Well, you can say that again, sir.
Any luck?
Oh, of a negative sort. It's not a dud check.
And the girl's in the clear.
Oh, we'd know that if we could find her. Jean Russell has got an account with that bank, and there are funds enough to cover the check.
But?
She isn't at the address the bank have for her, and she hasn't been there for over 6 months.
Which could mean nothing. Don't the bank have to have some sort of reference, a place of work or something?
I checked that, sir. She's a hairdresser. The salon she worked for when she opened the bank account sacked her a month later.
Did they say why?
Apparently a sum of money went missing, and they think she stole it.
Now, that is very interesting.
Well, it sounds the sort of person who could be involved in this sort of thing.
Certainly does. I'm afraid you've given yourself a bit more legwork, Sergeant.
No, how do you mean, sir?
Well, there can't be that many hairdressers in Johannesburg. You'll just have to shop around until you find one that knows where Jean Russell is now.
The machinery of the murder and robbery division grinds inexorably towards a solution to the crime. Sergeant Skippers continues his search of metropolitan hairdressing salons for Jean Russell, the mysterious blonde. A search is maintained for the stolen Black Tempest. Fingerprints taken from the Greenfields' car are sent to the Criminal Bureau in Pretoria for analysis.
Something at last, Sergeant.
What is it, sir?
A report on the palm print they took from the victim's car.
Oh, they've identified it?
Well, they certainly have. Belongs to an old friend of ours.
Friend?
Dennis Davidson.
Davidson? I thought he was still inside.
Time passes faster than you realize, Sergeant. He's been out for nearly a year.
Oh, so now we know who we're looking for. Dennis Davidson. And possibly Jean Russell.
I'd like to know who the other man is.
Durban Harbour, several minutes after midnight. Lighted ships ride easily on the smooth, twinkling darkness. The night shift of stevedores busily load and unload urgent cargoes. In a dark, deserted section of the harbour, a large black car stands with its bonnet pointing to the vast sheets of dark water.
Get rid of it, he said. Get rid of it where they won't ever find it. Right, mate. Into gear. Forward slowly. Slowly. Don't fancy going for a swim. Right. Time to get out. Jump! Still moving. There she goes. Over the X. I'd like to see them find that down there.
Major Coulter. Who? Oh, yes. Yes, I see. You what? Where? But how the devil... Yes, yes, I see. Yes, thanks very much. We'll be in touch with you. Thanks again.
Good news, sir?
I think so. They found the car.
The Black Tempest?
That's right. It was at the bottom of Durban Bay.
The bottom of... But how on earth did they find it, sir?
It seems Mr. Davidson isn't quite as clever as we thought. He pushed it into the bay last night, just after midnight. At least, that's what the local railway police think. He'd forgotten about the tide, you see. High water was at midnight last night. When the tide went out this morning, there it was. High and dry.
Within a matter of hours, Major Cota and Sergeant Skippers are on their way to the harbour city. They are met at Louis Berta Airport by officers of the local CID and afforded every facility for their search of the city.
Not going to be easy, sir. Durban's a big place.
Certainly is. I think I know where to start looking, though.
Where, sir?
Davidson was very fond of his creature comforts, if I remember. He had over 1,000 rands in his pocket. He was with a pretty girl. Where do you imagine he'd go?
Probably the most expensive hotel in the city.
And that's where we're going to make a start. We'll split them up, make inquiries at every one. Remember, we're looking for 3 people. Davidson, a blonde girl with short hair, and another man. They're probably still together.
Two men and a girl? No, we don't tell anyone like that.
Here. There's a woman like that. Several, in fact, but they're on their own. No, definitely not with a man like that.
May I have another look at that photograph? Yes. Yes, that would be Mr. Smithers. The young lady and the other gentleman have adjoining rooms. Oh, no, sir. They certainly haven't left.
Well, what do you think?
It's a lovely car, Daddy.
Very smart. Where do you nick it?
You crazy? We don't nick another car just yet. The local cops would be onto us like a ton of bricks.
So, where'd you get it?
I hired it, mate. That's what I did.
Hey, Denny Davidson's going straight. What about that?
I didn't say I was going to take it back, though, did I?
Can we go for a drive?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Getting into the car now, sir.
Right, Sergeant. Don't lose them.
Think they're making a run for it, or just going for a joyride?
Doesn't really matter, does it? They're not going to get far. Control, this is car 22. Come in, control. Over.
Ranger 22, over.
Following suspects along Marine Parade towards Snake Park. Alert other cars in the area. Over.
Will do, 22. Car 14 is at Argyle Road corner, and 31 at Walter Gilbert Road. Over.
Understood, control. We'll advise any further change of direction. Over and out.
Still heading north, sir.
Right. We'll make our move when car 14 joins us.
There he is, sir. On the Argyle Road corner.
He's seen them. Heading to intercept.
It looks like Davidson's seen him. He's trying to turn back into the other lane.
Head him off, Sergeant.
Right, sir.
Skillfully, the two patrol cars corner the fugitive. Desperately, he heads for the only possible avenue of escape.
Not on the other side. Denny, look out! The
bow! All right, Davidson, out you get. You and your friends. The holiday's over.
Dennis Davidson, Trevor Pinner, and Gene Peters were arrested and sent for trial on 1 count each of armed robbery and car theft. They were all found guilty. Davidson was declared an habitual criminal and received the indeterminate sentence. Pinner went to prison for 3 years, and Gene Russell was sentenced to 18 months conditionally suspended for 3 years.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting. In fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another authentic story in our dramatic South African police series, Squad Cars, brought to you by General Motors, makers of the biggest and most exciting range of cars, trucks, and commercial vehicles in the world. Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Beaumont, Chevrolet, Opel, Holden, Vauxhall, Bedford, GMC, and Ranger, South Africa's own car.